Moramai. Good morning. I'm Judith Lay and this is Praise, the programme that connects faith and daily life. Manx Radio. And on the final Praise programme for this year, I talk to talented local artist Patrina Kent, Louise Whiteleg is looking for kingdom stewards, and musician and composer Tim Price has done something very beautiful with the Christmas story. But as we're still very much in the season of Christmas, let's start with a carol from the Huddersfield Choral Society. Unto us is born a son. Unto us is born a son, the Huddersfield Choral Society singing there. Tim Price is a musician based in the Ramsey area with an increasing reputation as a skilled and sensitive composer. His recent work includes a specially commissioned piece of music for the Awakening Methodist Modern Art Collection, which was on the island this summer. And he composed the complete background music soundtrack for the Manx Passion Street Theatre that so many of us were involved in 2014. Tim and his sister Rachel, well known for her skills as a professional photographer, both contribute to the music and worship at the Independent Methodist Church in Ramsey, where their father, Keith Price, is the minister. Tim's always looking for more creative ways to use music, and his latest composition is a soundtrack to the Christmas story. Called Light of the World, it's a series of 7 Bible readings telling of the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding it, each with a piece of original background music that echoes the sense of the Bible reading. This is the account of the angel visiting Joseph from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, followed by a reading from the prophet Isaiah. Writing 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah foretells the coming of a saviour.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Two pieces from Light of the World by local composer Tim Price. Light of the World matches seven Bible passages telling of the birth of Jesus with a new soundtrack echoing the pace and emotions of the readings. Light of the World is available on SoundCloud. I'll put a link to it on the Praise blog for today, so you can listen easily to the rest of it. I'll remind you a little later in the programme how easy it is to access the Praise blog, where you'll find our full notice board and lots of information about all the features on Praise today. I mentioned that one of Tim's most recent compositions was a specially commissioned piece of music for the Awakening Methodist Modern Art exhibition, which was on the island this summer. Mary Gulland, Henry Uniac and Patrina Kent were the curators of the exhibition, all experienced artists tasked with the job of actually installing this valuable and fascinating collection of paintings in the chosen churches around the island. Once the exhibition was open, Mary and Patrina were artists in residence, moving between churches and working there, painting, creating their own artwork, but also being available to talk with visitors. Patrina Kent was artist in residence in both Balaguerie Chapel and the Cathedral in Peel. And sometime afterwards, Patrina had an exhibition of her own work, sadly the very last one to be held in the Sale Gallery, which is where I went to look at her paintings and reflect on her experiences as artist in residence during the Awakening exhibition. Did people want to talk to you about the art?
The Balaguerie experience was different from the cathedral, but the people would come in and we would leave them to look at the work on their own. And the reactions were varied, really. We had two quite interesting paintings there. One was abstract. One was very abstract, so there were two paintings open to interpretation. And people either hated them or really liked them. But to get those reactions, we did engage in conversation deliberately. So in Balaguerie, if somebody really, really hated one of these paintings, they wouldn't be talked out of it. But actually, I changed my mind on a painting in the cathedral. It was a pink crucifixion. I didn't like it. I didn't like the limp figure. It seemed to be a bit childlike and insincere. And I was talking to a member of the public there, and he started to share what he saw in it. And I suddenly saw this as a very powerful piece of work, because I suddenly realised that the limpness of the Christ on the cross was his submission to the cross. He wasn't fighting it. And it was amazing. And I only got that because I was talking to somebody else about their interpretation, listening to somebody else.
Now, the interesting thing about those artworks was that whilst they were all on religious themes, and in fact, all told the story, really, of the life of Christ in different ways, particularly focusing the end of his life, the crucifixion, resurrection, these kind of things. Many of the artists weren't Christians, and many of them not even believing people. Mm. But there's something about the themes that touched them very deeply, wasn't there?
Yes, and I think artists over the years have painted religious themes anyway for various different reasons. Some are commissioned to do so. Some do it by choice. But I was always asking myself, what makes a piece of artwork a Christian piece of artwork? Is it the artist? Is it the painting? Is it the subject matter? Or is it the title of the painting? These are quite interesting questions.
Yeah. Or is it just the way it makes you feel?
It could just be that, you see.
Yeah. Which leads us very nicely into your own exhibition, which is where we are now in the Sale Gallery. Your exhibition, Deeper. You're a deeply committed Christian yourself. You're very connected with nature. You start off with the colours and the feeling and the inspirations of nature for your work.
Well, I am initially inspired by what I see, but at the time I was doing some of this work, I was reading Luke's Gospel, particularly a passage about Jesus in the boat. He asked the disciples to push the boat out so he could preach from it. And then he said to Peter, take the boat out again and go out deeper. Peter was exhausted because he'd been out fishing all night, but he did. He went out deeper and he caught the most amazing catch. And actually, while I was reading this, God asked me to go deeper. He spoke to me and I started to ask questions. What do you mean? What does deeper mean for me? And I even asked my minister at church, Joe Heaton, I said, what do you think? He said, what's the context? And I said, well, actually, the context is evangelism, because Jesus is preaching. He sends Peter out into the deep to fish, but then he says to Peter, you'll be a fisher of men. So the context is definitely evangelism. But I feel a call on my life at the moment to go deeper into my relationship with God as well, you see. So when I was in Port St Mary for an evening walk and I saw the harbour and the steps going down into this deep water, so beautiful. And there's this boat. And I just had to paint it. I knew that there was a strong message in this painting.
And it is an extraordinarily powerful piece of artwork. It's a big canvas. Yeah. You've got this steep flight of steps leading into, at first, quite clear water. You can see what's below the water. And then just a little further out, there is the boat, the empty boat on calm water.
Yes.
It's one of those pictures you could just go on looking at and looking at.
I think so. And I called it the invitation because the invitation is to go down the steps into that water or take the boat out, have an adventure.
But you make it look inviting.
Yeah, someone said they wanted to do both. They wanted to jump in and swim to the boat, which was quite nice. Somebody else said to me that they saw the sea as the world and they were coming up out into the arms of the unseen Christ. So they saw it totally differently, which I rather liked, actually.
But isn't that beautiful that yes. You can create a work that you feel is of God? And then let other people see where they find
yes.
God in the picture.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Now, the one next to it is an equally interesting picture, isn't it? This one is some rocks. Again, we've got rocks at a water's edge. A different coloured water. There's a lot more blue water here. These ropes across the rocks that, quite honestly, are so realistic that you want to reach out and take a hold of them.
Well, this is really interesting because I knew that I was to paint this. On a spiritual level, I felt that I should paint this, if that makes sense. But I didn't know what the meaning of it was, as I did with the invitation painting. I knew that the ropes were a strong image, and to me, they are to be caught hold of as a lifeline. But they also suggest an invitation to go out, because the deep water is there. But there's this solid rock as well, which is a spiritual thing in the scriptures. We stand on solid rock. But there's also the call to go deeper again, isn't there? So I don't know. I'd just be interested to see what other people get out of it.
Now, there's one here that you created in Balaghery during the time of the Awakening exhibition. Yeah. You were painting that whilst you were looking after the visitors. A smaller work. To me, it's rocks at low tide, with a little bit of water around. It doesn't suggest a depth of water. But what I love about this, whilst the rocks dominate the centre of the picture, there on the horizon where the sky is lighter, there is another land form. This suggests to me the rocks are the reality here, but the land on the horizon is something to strive for, dream of, look to.
I just love the rocks. I mean, it's as simple as that. I love the rocks. I love the fact they're so solid. And the light was spilling out around them as well. It was about the solid rock for me.
I know as an artist you're painting all the time, but when you've done a great body of work, do you feel that it draws you closer to God or that it challenges you on your faith journey?
I am a bit intense and I question everything because over the last 2 years I've been working through styles. You might say styles, I don't like the word, but I've been working through processes and what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. How do I want to say it? What am I doing? And all these silly questions. And it wasn't until I got it all together that I realised where I'd gone and how I'd got there that it became coherent to me. It was helpful. Spiritually, I just question, does it say anything? I just question it. It doesn't help me spiritually, actually. I just question it because I don't feel adequate.
Maybe it's enough for you to lift up your artist's hands to the Lord and let him work through you.
I think so. I get my inspiration and encouragement from the Word of God. If I'm low, I open the Word and I read it and I'm encouraged. So
that's all we need to know. After that, it's bread on the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
And let us decide. Because people have looked at these and queried your titles for them and said, oh no, I think it's this or that. And that's great, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think so.
I was talking there with local artist Patrina Kent, looking at some of her paintings and reflecting on the extent to which her Christian beliefs influence her work. Now, you may well wonder why I chose to broadcast that interview today. Well, there is a reason. It's just been announced that Patrina's work forms part of a brand new online study course that Sarah Middleton has been commissioned to create by Wesley House, a Cambridge theological college. It's about exploring art in worship and theology. Sarah Middleton helps to curate the Methodist Modern Art Collection when it's on tour, and so she made a number of visits to the island before, during and after the Awakening exhibition here earlier this year. And it's how Sarah met Patrina Kent, and a really fruitful partnership developed, resulting in Patrina helping Sarah to put the course together. Sarah admits that much of the inspiration for the course came from her Manx visits. The course is called Drawing Closer to God, Exploring Art in Worship and Theology. It's available online, which means it can be done from anywhere, and I'll put a link to the course details on the Praise blog in case you'd like to take a look.
Pray you dutifully pray, your matin chime me rings. May you beautifully rhyme, your eve-time song ye sing us.
A little bit more music from the St Michael Singers. And next we join Louise Whiteleg, our local Christian Aid representative, who's got a new idea for a new year.
Well, don't know if you remember, but about a year ago we had some people come over from Aroche to talk to us about eco-churches. As a result of that, we had about half a dozen churches on the island join up as an eco-church. Now, I love the Isle of Man and I think the Isle of Man is a world leader. And I think we can do better than half a dozen churches. So I have been talking to the bishop and he is very supportive of the Eco Church initiative. In fact, it is actually sponsored by the Church of England and the Methodist Church. That's where the Eco Church concept came from. What I am hoping, what I would like to see is I'd like to see an Eco Church island. Let's be the first Eco Church island. So working with the Bishop and Father Ben, we're reaching out to all the Anglican churches and we're looking for a kingdom steward. We're looking for that one person in each church, each of the Anglican churches on the Isle of Man, who's going to be the kingdom steward? Who is it that's going to look after the church's efforts in looking after God's kingdom? It's about so much more than double glazing and heating and light bulbs, although that's a tiny part of it. It's actually got different facets to it. It's part of looking at how the church operates and its worship and its teaching. Do you consider looking after God's kingdom in your services? Do you have a special service during the year? Is it something you consider in your prayers of intercession when you're meeting every Sunday? I've even had people say to me, but we haven't got a church building. It doesn't matter, because it's looking at your congregation, it's looking at your lifestyle, it's looking at your community and global engagement. It's actually, there's all these big words, but to be honest, between you and me, don't tell anyone, it's not as difficult as people think. There's a questionnaire on the Eco Church website, and you fill in that questionnaire, and then it gives you like speed dials for each of the different categories as to where you are in your Eco Church journey. And then the idea is you just try and improve. As Christians, it should just be something we do. We've been given this gift of the planet that we live on, and we're here for a short period of time, and nothing we do should leave the planet in a worse place when we pop off than it was when we started here. It's part of our duty to make sure that we safeguard God's kingdom while we're here on earth. So it's about having community gardens. It's about using the property that you've got around your church. Grow some fruit, make jam from that, and then have a party with the congregation and the community. Go out there, look at what you do. What footprint does your church leave? What do you do when your flowers are past the best? Do you throw them away, or do you have a composter? Every single church can make a difference. There's lots of ideas. What we're looking for, Father Ben and I, is we're looking for one person out of each church who's going to pioneer those ideas. And once a month, we're not going to bombard you with loads of information, don't worry. It's nothing like that. It's not a big ask. But once a month, we're just going to send some ideas that you can try. None of it's compulsory. Every church, as you say, is different. Different things will work in different places. But let's start the conversation. Let's get talking about what we can do to protect God's kingdom. The church is a movement. The church is powerful. It's a group of people who have all got one thing in common. No matter what denomination you're from, we've all got one thing in common, and that's a love of God. And it's taking that power and taking that group of people and going out there and making a difference. And there's lots of different ways that the church can be an influencer and encourage other people to help us as Christians look after God's kingdom.
So if somebody is listening to this now and says, yes, I want to be that eco-advocate for my church, for my community, what's the first step, Louise?
Either get in touch with myself or Father Ben at the Bishop's office, or if you want to do a bit of homework, if you Google Eco Church, you will find the Arosh site comes up. And on that site, there's lots and lots of information. In fact, I've been there before you, because if you go to the resources page, there's specific Isle of Man documentation, all the local contacts that you need.
Thank you, Louise Whiteleg. And if you'd like to know more about being a Kingdom Steward, you'll find a useful website link on the Praise blog on the Manx Radio website. Or you can ring Louise on 474275. The Praise blog is on the Manx Radio website. Just go to manxradio.com. On the homepage, click On Air, and on the drop-down menu, you'll find Blogs. Click and you'll see Praise. The blog starts with links to more information about the topics we've discussed this morning, followed by this week's notice board. As you might imagine, after the busy Christmas period, there's a lot less on the notice board than usual. And we finish today with a thought for the start of the new year, written by the British academic Minnie Louise Haskins. These words were first spoken publicly by King George VI in his Christmas 1939 broadcast to the Empire, when the words struck a deep chord with a country facing the uncertainty of war. We can often feel a bit uncertain about the start of a new year, can't we? So once again, I offer these as words of reassurance. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, Go out into the darkness, and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills, and the breaking of day in the lone east. Cold Blows the Wind, a Manx carvel from Curjin Cujak, conducted by the Manx bard Annie Kizak. Thank you for listening to this week's Praise Podcast. There's a new Praise Podcast available every Sunday morning. You can subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts and Spotify via the Manx Radio smartphone app or at manxradio.com. And all editions of Praise will be available indefinitely as podcasts. So until next week, this is Judith saying thank you for your company, and I wish you and those you love a happy, blessed and peaceful New Year.